traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Let's face it, in our busy lives, we don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. In fact, according to the CDC, only 1 in 10 Americans are eating the recommended daily amount of fruits and vegetables each day, missing out on essential vitamins, minerals, fibers, and antioxidants. And that's where Balance in Nature comes in. Balance in Nature sources only the best produce, free from pesticides, heavy metals, and harmful bacteria. And Balance in Nature is the best fruit and vegetable product on the market. They use only fresh whole fruits and vegetables inside each capsule. They don't use any GMOs, fillers, binding agents, or preservatives of any kind. You're getting real food, real science, real nutrition. I would never endorse a product that I don't use myself, and since using Balance in Nature, I feel more alert, I have more energy, my focus is sharper, and I feel great. Live life to the fullest and choose Balance in Nature. And guess what? PAS Report listeners can get 35% off the first preferred order. Start getting the recommended daily amount of fruits and vegetables you need by using code PAS at balanceofnature.com.
Welcome to the PAS Report Weekly Roundup Podcast. The PAS Report provides an honest analysis on the critical issues that matter to you without the biased media filters. Here's your host, Professor Nicholas Giordano.
Imagine a time when a gallon of gas costs more than a gallon of milk. A time when those in power mockingly tell ordinary people to eat cake, stop complaining, buy an electric vehicle that they can't afford. A time when baby formula is in short supply and store shelves are bare. A time when we are told to follow the science but reject the very basics of biology, where gender is classified as a theory and little children are taught that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. A time when young men can participate in and dominate women's sports, and children as young as 9 years old are given life-altering drugs. A time when the government has printed and doled out so much money, causing rampant inflation and destroying people's personal economies. A time when everyone who dissents from a narrative is labeled as a white supremacist. A time where hard work and competency are punished, competition is discouraged, and incompetence is encouraged and even rewarded as the ruling class pushes mediocrity. A time when all logic and rationale are thrown out the window and no longer exist. But we don't have to imagine that time, do we? Because we're living through it in Biden's America. And there comes a point when enough is enough. We are at that point, and it shouldn't matter what political party you identify with. The American people are fed up with President Biden's failures, as their lives have become much more difficult under this administration. I don't want to pin all the blame on President Biden and his administration. Yes, this has been a long time coming. And sure, much of what they've done has been nonsensical. There's no logic behind it. They operate to the fringes who allow their emotions to drive everything. And that fringe believes that they are morally superior. It's a moral superiority complex that they have, and they label anyone who disagrees with their policy positions as evil, as white supremacists. The president just makes it worse because he continues to go out there and blame everyone else. He blames Republicans, blames former President Trump, blames Putin. He blames the corporations. Not once has he or anyone in his administration put forward anything to restore any type of normalcy, to restore stability, to restore a semblance of confidence. They continue to push failed ideas and policies that we shouldn't even have to be debating. That's how insane they are. But recognize, you know, these failures are part of a much larger problem. And this is 40 years of disastrous policy decisions that have led us to this moment. The common theme throughout is that no one is ever held accountable for these failures. We no longer have any standards, and people have completely disengaged from the political process, even though their lives have become more difficult, because they feel it's all rigged. They feel the system is against us. A system cannot survive when the people no longer have faith in it. So it's important to restore that faith. And I'm going to explain it all. Before I do, make sure you click the follow button of this podcast so you never miss an episode, and visit the PAS Report website, PASReport.com. to sign up for the newsletter. And there were a few interesting developments over the course of the last week. Odds are you probably didn't hear much about them because the ruling class wants to continue to distract us. And while you may not have heard the media industrial complex talk about these issues, I guarantee you that you felt these developments. I guarantee you that you felt the pain at the pump as the national average crossed over the $5 mark. I can guarantee you that you felt the increased prices when you went to the grocery store over the weekend. I could guarantee you're feeling the record-breaking inflation. I could guarantee that if you're a senior citizen living on a fixed income, you're feeling these effects every single day. If you're a single mother or a two-parent household on a fixed income, you're feeling the effects. I guarantee that if you've looked at your 401ks, you're disgusted. If you haven't looked, my suggestion is don't look, just ignore it right now. Look in like a year. Then maybe it'll be different. But these are the types of things that we're feeling every day, creating real hardships. And this administration just dismisses those hardships. Oh, the economy is still wonderful. You didn't hear any mention of an armed man down the block from Justice Kavanaugh's house who was arrested and charged with attempted murder of a Supreme Court justice. Instead, what were you treated to last week? What was all the discussion about? It was the never-ending saga of January 6th, of course. The Democrats, the establishment Republicans, they know they're in a bind. They know people are dissatisfied with everything that's going on. It's why they want to distract everyone with the carefully scripted version of the events on January 6th, a version where you're not allowed to ask questions. You're not allowed to contradict anything these people say. If you do, then you're part of the insurrection. Oh, wait, it's not called an insurrection anymore. You notice that? It's no longer labeled an insurrection. Now they've changed it to a coup. See, apparently the insurrection label wasn't drawing too many people in. It wasn't really working. So they decided to up the ante, and now they're going to label it an attempted coup. This is nothing more than government-sponsored propaganda that's being pushed out there, where one side gets to determine what evidence is going to be shown, what witnesses are going to be called, what the narrative is going to be. As I said last week, this committee has so far conducted over 850 interviews. Why were most of them done behind closed doors, away from public view, and none of them really conducted in primetime? Why do you think that is? And why do you think that you're only seeing selective bits and pieces, the ones they want you to see? Why can't they release all the closed-door testimonies? Why can't we see all the documents that they've collected? More importantly, if they wanted someone like me to take this committee seriously, why did Speaker Pelosi overrule Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy's picks, blocking someone like Congressman Jim Jordan from sitting on the committee? Instead, we have a committee made up of 7 Democrats and 2 Republicans. Two of the Republicans were hand-selected by Queen Pelosi herself. And then you have the weasel Adam Schiff on the committee. The same Adam Schiff that stated he had more than circumstantial evidence of Russian collusion. The same Adam Schiff that has been caught lying time and time again.
Come on, man.
It is so pathetic that anyone even takes him seriously. Anyone. The fact that people actually listen to Adam Schiff is truly mind-boggling. It's stunning. As I watch these hearings, I have to watch it so you don't have to watch it, but as I watch these hearings and I listen to these frauds in office, frauds that never criticize the abuse of power of the bureaucracy, never once hold anyone in the departments and the agencies accountable for their failures, for the corruption that exists. So every time they open their mouths and I have to sit there and watch it, I think to myself,
oh my God, who the hell cares?
Because I'm sure the majority of Americans don't care as they're filling up their gas tank and they're spending $75, $80, $90 to fill up their gas tank, in some cases over $100 depending on the car they drive. And if they're driving a car that takes diesel, it's far worse than that. This whole thing is a sham designed to take away attention from President Biden's failures, the failure of the Democrats in the House and Senate, and frankly, the failures of both the Democrat and Republican Party over the last 40 years. However, if we are focusing on the here and now, Democrats are the ones that have to take accountability for this because they control the legislative branch. They control the executive branch on the federal level. In places like California and New York, Democrats have an overwhelming supermajority. They don't need a single Republican vote to get anything done. Like, Democrats control the total show. So if you're unhappy what's going on, there's realistically only one political party you could blame. And how's that working out for everyone with these supermajorities in place? Because last time I checked, there's an exodus out of California and New York. People are leaving these states in droves because of the failed policies. And this administration basically wants to federalize these failed policies. I guess it's not enough to inflict these failed policies on California and New York. They want to take them nationwide. Their version of equity amounts to suffering for all. So we could all suffer equally. We have equal outcomes of suffering. That's great. But there is one important element to the January 6th committee. It's not just to distract us from President Biden's failures. It's not just to target the former president in an attempt to make sure he doesn't run in 2024. The most important thing the January 6th committee is designed to do is to make sure that no one ever asks questions when it comes to elections again. That's what it's designed to do, unless they are the ones doing the questioning. See, they're allowed to ask all the questions they want. That's how it works. You, the peasant class, you don't get to ask questions. Think about it this way. All these people on the committee stated that there was a coordination and organization behind the riots that took place at the Capitol building. They say that there was collusion between the Trump campaign and that the former president himself was actively involved in this. However, when you listen to these hardcore partisans on this committee, notice how they have made no evidence of this grand conspiracy to exist. They haven't provided a scintilla of evidence connecting President Trump or anyone in the Trump orbit leading the riot at the Capitol building. And notice at their primetime hearing, they never even mention it. Instead, they're saying that the questioning of the election results is what led to January 6th. See, only they get to contest an election. They did it in 2000, they did it in 2004, they did it in 2016. And that was all okay. But you have no right to question the election. Republicans have no right to question the election. You have no right to question why the media and big tech decided to cover up the Hunter Biden and the Biden corruption scandal. Why did more than 50 former high-level intelligence officials collude to say the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation when it wasn't? You have no right to question the Zuckbucks and how Mark Zuckerberg spent nearly $500 million. Nearly $500 million to essentially take over local election operations. We don't have a right to ask those questions. It's stunning. Imagine how many homeless people could have been fed in San Francisco by Silicon Valley for that amount of money. Instead, he spends it to rig an election. You're not allowed to question why state legislative bodies, why their power was usurped. The bodies that are tasked with passing election laws being completely disregarded, where public officials decided that state legislative bodies are irrelevant, and they're going to change the rules as they see fit, which is completely unconstitutional. You're not allowed to question why signature requirements were dropped, what mail-in ballots, why were some of the same people, visiting several drop boxes in several states? Why did some jurisdictions have massive chain of custody issues? Why did vote counting just stop in some jurisdictions? Questions like these are not allowed because they go against the narrative that this was the safest and most secure election we ever had. And ask yourself, wouldn't it have been better for the January 6th committee to look at all these things? I mean, you say, okay, no fraud took place, that this was all a big lie intended on trying to thwart our democracy, stop the peaceful transition of power. So you would think that if these people wanted to restore trust, you would think this committee would take up these questions. They would investigate all the questions I just raised, and they would provide answers to either debunk the claims totally and to show that the Zuckbucks and the censorship, the Hunter Biden censorship, had no impact on the election. And if you go to my podcast following the election, I laid out the complexities of challenging results. I explained the reality and what's possible versus what's not. I also criticized the former president for bashing Vice President Pence. I know there's a lot of you out there who don't like Vice President Pence anymore, but he was loyal throughout his service. And the idea that one person can reject a state's electors is simply insane. Whether you agree with me or not is irrelevant, but beware of what you're advocating for, because you need to always remember that whenever a new precedent is set, the other side will use it as well. And what would happen during the next presidential election cycle when Vice President Kamala Harris has to certify the election? So you have to be careful here. Unfortunately, too many are very short-sighted when it comes to politics, and they don't realize that Pandora's box is being opened. It has been opened. I am on record criticizing the 2020 elections. I've criticized mail-in ballots, criticized the complete and utter disregard for the Constitution, where officials outside of state legislative bodies were making election laws, which is not allowed. I criticized the collusion between the bureaucracy and big tech and the media, criticized the silencing of any critics who question the outcome. But think about all the things being ignored, intentionally ignored. While the media wants to focus solely on January 6th, our economy is in shambles. People's personal economies are being destroyed, but they don't care. We continue to witness social engineering throughout our society. And I'm not sure how many are noticing, but continuing down this trend will guarantee the collapse of our civilization. That is not an exaggeration. Just look at how all the great civilizations of the world that came before us collapsed. They all follow the same trajectory. First they die culturally, then they die economically, then they die militarily. It's not rocket science. The roadmap is there, but that's the intention, right? As things get worse and worse, people will make greater demands on the government. As the people grow more desperate, they are willing to grant government more power to solve the problems. As the government is granted more power, the officials continue to push for this great reset. They want to surrender our sovereignty to a bunch of international pencil pushers who think they are smarter and morally superior to everyone else. That's what it comes down to. The good news is that it's not working. That's the good news, and we are seeing the results. I would guarantee that the January 6th committee hasn't changed anyone's minds. You either hate Trump or you like him, but it hasn't changed anyone's minds. I would also guarantee that as Americans are filling up their gas tanks, standing there for 5 minutes watching that dollar amount keep on jumping up as every gallon of gas goes into their gas tank every minute that passes, I will say with certainty that when their tank is full and they see that final number that they just spent $70, $80, $90, $100 plus dollars to fill up their tank, they aren't thinking to themselves, well, I might be going broke, but thank goodness for that January 6th committee. Thank goodness for that. Instead, they're thinking about how they're going to be putting food on the table. They're thinking about how they're going to fill up their car the next time. How they're going to have to start driving less. They're scared, concerned, frightened. They're angry. So this administration, the Democrats, the establishment Republicans, those in the media, they could try and distract from President Biden's failures all they want, but it's not going to work, and the polls are showing that. You have the Quinnipiac poll that shows only 33% of people approve of the job the president is doing. Quinnipiac is not some conservative polling outfit. His only support is coming from the rich, white, wealthy elitists and the hardcore ideologues. That's where his support comes from. Just look at the recent recall of Chesapeake in San Francisco. If you look at the breakdown of the vote, 60% of the people of San Francisco, definitely not your conservative safe haven, 60% voted to oust Boudin. That 60% was mostly from the inner city urban areas that are suffering under failed leftist policies. These are the areas on the lowest socioeconomic scale that have been the victims of the surging crime, the surging homelessness, the surging cost of living, the collapse of public education, and so much more. Many of those in these communities are from minority populations. So who are the 40% that supported Boudin? That's an important question, right? Who are these 40%? Of course, it's the rich, wealthy elitists from Silicon Valley who are insulated from all those things I just mentioned. They are the ones with private police forces that don't have to deal with the violent crime surge. They don't have homeless camps in their communities. They don't have to deal with the public education system because they send their children to private schools. They are wealthy enough that they can cover the surging cost of living and the rampant inflation. They don't care about gas prices because they could afford the high cost, and they could also afford to go out and buy an electric vehicle. Notice how those who try to speak for the minority communities, the rich, white, progressive elitists, are so out of touch with the ordinary people in those communities. It would be nice to remove that layer of insulation so they could get a feel of what ordinary people are going through. And maybe, just maybe, it would knock these public virtue signalers off their pedestals. Maybe it would humble them just a little bit. And we should. We should be able to bust the homeless population into the wealthy communities, these communities that support the leftist policies, since they have the money and resources to tend to that population. Maybe when leaders in San Francisco open the doors to their prisons and release a bunch of felons, maybe we could put those felons in halfway houses in the elite communities that support these leftist policies, so that those felons that are released don't have the opportunity to re-victimize communities they already victimized. Maybe if they're going to push this no bail crap, that those released have to stay in the wealthy communities that support the officials like Boudin until the trials start. And how's about all those migrants being resettled throughout the United States? How's about we resettle them in communities that could sustain the population as opposed to sending them to communities that are already struggling? If we did this, how long do you think it would take before those public virtue signalers change their tune? A week? 2 weeks? maybe a month, but it wouldn't go much longer than that. And this is not to absolve Republicans in any way. Many of them are just as pathetic. They bear some of the responsibility for how we got to this point. For decades, they ignored the plight of the ordinary person. For decades, they ignored how those that were losing their jobs in the manufacturing sector, how it was impacting people and families. They dismiss those who lost their jobs to outsourcing, arrogantly telling them to learn a new trade. They push for this globalist agenda as well. They also surrendered to Democrats in several areas and to several different demographic groups. They surrendered the cities, the young, the minority populations. Only now are they waking up, at least some of them are. And the only reason some of them are waking up is they finally realize that many of their old constituency have abandoned them. We're talking about those within corporate America. But the vote that took place in San Francisco speaks volumes and has illuminated a huge opportunity for Republicans if they're smart enough to capitalize on President Biden's failures and the failures of the Democrat Party in these neighborhoods. It would be wise for Republicans to begin to invest time, money, and manpower and actually win these populations over. But you can't win them over just saying that the other side is bad, that President Biden's incompetent, that he's got dementia and he can't govern. You need to go into these communities and not dictate to them, but actually listen to them. Listen to what their concerns are. Listen to the problems that these communities face. Then have an open and honest dialogue about what can realistically be done at the local level through state government and through the federal government. We have this system of federalism for a reason. It's kind of important. Republicans need to develop solutions that actually solve the problems and work with those communities to get their input. Take something like the surging violent crime, the gun violence in the inner cities, which no new gun laws are going to solve, and most of the firearms in these communities are illegal firearms. Those that possess those illegal firearms aren't going to go through any type of background checks. Sorry, they're not. They're not going to be red flagged for mental health conditions or anything like that. Let's at least be honest about that and talk about just enforcing the laws that currently exist. What many on the left won't tell you as they preach about gun violence is that the majority of illegal possession of firearm cases get dropped by these far left out of control prosecutors. Maybe if we enforce the laws currently on the books, we could get this surge in crime under control. I know it's a crazy idea, crazy thought, but maybe we should try that first. And let's have a conversation with members of these communities about stop, question, and frisk. Many people within these communities don't like stop and frisk policies because they believe they're discriminatory and lead to racial profiling. Perhaps if the Republican Party, if we spoke to the community, allowed them to participate in developing the policy, in developing safeguards, maybe more people would have more trust. Maybe they would have more support for these types of programs that have been proven to get illegal firearms off the streets. The conversation should always be centered on solutions. But we also need to educate people that the government was never designed to tackle every single problem within society, that there are some things that the government cannot do, that limited government is an important concept, and empowering the government to fix a problem isn't always the best solution. In fact, a lot of times, government policies can create a whole new set of problems. We need to remind people that they also have a responsibility. There's this little thing called individualism, right? Personal responsibility. And they're just as important, that we have a responsibility to ourselves, to our families, to our communities. Again, it's not just about pointing out President Biden's failures. Many of the problems we face can actually be easily fixed. Take immigration. We can't tackle any type of comprehensive immigration reform until we get control of the border. Stop the surge of illegal immigration into the United States. Now, this is something that I find very bizarre. One of the main reasons that President Trump won in 2016 was because of his message on immigration, illegal immigration. That was one of the main reasons, the whole build the wall thing. You would think Democrats and even Republicans would have enough sense to say, hey, if we despise the president, former president, that much, if we don't like Trump and we don't want him to return in 2024, maybe we should get this illegal immigration thing under control. Maybe having caravans of 40, 50,000 people coming up to the United States is a really bad idea. Maybe having over 2 million people entering the United States illegally in a year is a really bad idea. But it's a relatively simple fix. No matter what the left tells you, walls work. And while a wall on our southern border won't stop all illegal immigration, it will cripple it to a large degree. I love when people say, but They don't work. And even if they did work, we don't have the money to build a wall. With the amount of money we waste each and every year, with the amount of money that goes to all these stupid pet projects of people, we could easily find the money to build a wall. I mean, don't tell me that we have the money to give Ukraine over $50 billion, but we don't have any money to build the wall for our own national security. It's completely ridiculous. Enough with the endless migration. I get it. These migrants, they're seeking a better life. If I came from one of these countries, I'd want to get into the United States too. But we have a process and we have laws for a reason, and both must be respected. We also have an obligation to the American people and the permanent legal residents who did it the right way. And we have an obligation to those who are respecting our process and laws and are doing it the right way. Our resources are finite, and there's only so much our infrastructure can handle. It will collapse with this unending flow. Also, no matter what anyone tries to tell you, assimilation is an important concept. Oh, you can't say assimilation anymore. People are not supposed to be shedding their culture and adopting the American culture. That's white supremacist ideology. That's how dumb these people are. But assimilation is what makes our country survive. It doesn't mean that you shed all aspects of your culture. It means that you adopt the American culture, that you live by the core concepts, the American political philosophy. That's what it means. But there's too many people coming in at too quick of a pace for us to really be able to assimilate them into the United States and to American culture. We have to solve this problem. You can't allow this to go on. We are a sovereign country, no matter what they try and tell you. When it comes to education, knock off the stupid nonsense being injected into the classroom. Teach students how to read and write. Teach them math and science. Teach them real American history, both the good and the bad. Teach them about the American government and its roles and responsibilities in our institutions. Enough with introducing controversial topics to children, especially when they are totally inappropriate, certainly not age appropriate. Stop forcing ideology on students and teaching the students what to think. Instead, I know a novel concept, teach students how to think. Teach them what their role is within society, what their civic obligations are. Teach them what it means to be a good citizen. When it comes to inflation, particularly with the crushing increase in energy prices, we could solve this problem relatively quickly. But the administration continues to go forward with President Biden's failures. Understand, oil and gas are global commodities, and the price of oil and gas reflects not on how much oil and gas are currently on the markets, but the price is based on future speculation of supply and demand. So announce that we are moving forward with the Keystone Pipeline. Announce that we're cutting regulations so that companies don't have to wait years to extract oil from the ground. Announce that we're going to expand our refining capacity and that we will be bringing refineries that have been shut down back online in the next few months. If you do those things, you'll see how quickly the prices start to come down. Also, talk about the burdensome regulations. Explain the ones that we could do away with that would reignite the economy. I mean, you would think that the incompetent blowhards in office would have already done this, especially when it comes to like the manufacturing sector, because our weaknesses were exposed during the coronavirus. We shouldn't have to rely on China to manufacture life-saving generic prescription medications. This is a national security issue. We shouldn't have to rely on hostile countries to produce everyday necessities that we use. It's insane. And yet here we are. Enough with all the regulations that make it nearly impossible for businesses to get off the ground. It shouldn't take 5 or 10 years to start a major construction project. It's regulations like these that handcuff our economy. Granted, some of the problems that we face are complex, and they require complex solutions that aren't easy to achieve. However, many of the problems could be solved simply by using common sense. You don't have to be a genius to figure this stuff out. The administration shows no signs of reversing course. That's the scary part. And they want to double down on President Biden's failures. It's gotten to the point where even Democrats are starting to speak up and speak out. That's how bad it's gotten. You have, at the beginning, when Biden first took office, there were whispers. Is he going to run for re-election? Isn't he? But they're not whispers anymore. There's a whole host of Democrats that are fed up and want an alternative. And that's where leadership comes in, because there is this alliance brewing. You have the classical liberals that now are coming out. They are starting to speak up. They are starting to speak out. You have moderate Democrats that are starting to speak up and speak out. And we need a competent person to lead and begin to tell all the officials, both elected and appointed, both Republican and Democrat, to knock it off. Enough with incompetence and stupidity. Then it's time to restore the government to its proper role and functions, that the government has to start working for the people again. not the other way around. That we have a responsibility to the forgotten middle class who have been ignored for decades, and that we need to move beyond the petty politics and the insanity. That a return to values and standards, again, I know these are novel concepts, but a return to values and standards, it's necessary. It is necessary, and it ensures that our civilization will survive, that the United States will survive. If we don't have values and standards, believe me, we will collapse, and we're going to collapse a lot sooner than you think. We need to remind people of everything that the United States stands for. Most importantly, those civil servants in senior leadership positions, they need to be held to the highest of standards and face accountability for their decisions and all the policy failures over the last 40 years. Understand that a lot of the corrupt senior leadership that exists, that's responsible for a lot of the failed decisions we've witnessed over the last 40 years, they've served both in Republican and Democrat administrations. We need to get rid of these people. The senior leadership needs to be held to the same standards as everyone else. We got to stop giving promotions out based on their political ideology, and we have to start firing incompetent people. That's what we need to do. There's supposed to be merit, like, you know, you do good things, you succeed, you went above and beyond, that's when you get promoted. Not simply because you dotted the I's, crossed the T's, and you understand the political game. That's got to go away. We need someone to lead this country and ensure us that no one will be getting a get-out-of-jail-free card. Hold everyone accountable that deserves to be held accountable. Accountability is a must. And if we do all these things, you're going to start to see more people have faith in the system. We'll restore the faith in the system that's lacking right now. You want to talk about unity? Maybe if you do these things, stop focusing on the BS stuff, you'll begin to see unity again. Maybe if we do these things, we're going to begin to see the United States thrive again. There are too many naysayers out there that says, oh, it's game over, we've already collapsed, that we're already socialist or communist, that we already hate each other to the point where we can't bridge that divide that exists. But I reject all that. I think that we can, and I think that with the proper leadership, I think with the right people in this country that have an ounce of integrity, that actually know what public service stands for, I think we can get this country back on track. And guess what? If we don't get it back on track and everything goes to hell in a handbag, we all suffer. Doesn't matter what your political ideology is. So let's wake up now. And with all that being said, got to remind you, if you're in Suffolk County, check out Blue Collar Barbell. Great people, great patriots. I have the links up on the PAS Report website in the show notes, so check them out. If you find the content that I provide informative, make sure to give the PAS Report a 5-star rating. Take 30 seconds to write a review on Apple Podcasts, a good review. Also, make sure to share this episode with family, friends, post it on your social media, because that's how we grow. That's how we begin to take the country back. I have an excellent, excellent interview coming up on Monday, so you're not going to want to miss it. Make sure you tune in. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's pretty important interview that I'm going to be doing. So you want to check that out. I hope you all enjoy the weekend, and I'll be back next week with other great episodes of the PAS Report podcast.
Thank you for listening to the PAS Report Weekly Roundup podcast.
Have a good one. Bye.
Be sure to rate, share, and subscribe to the podcast, so you'll never miss an episode. Also, visit PASReport.com and follow us on Twitter at PASReport.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.